What's up, Tea Tribe? Welcome back to Tea with Publicity. I have an amazing interview for you guys today with Jackie Goldschneider from The Real Housewives of New Jersey. We did it over Zoom. Obviously, I love to do all of my podcasts in person with my guests when I can, but this conversation is so important and one that I wanted to have that I was like, we will do it over Zoom. We will do it by any means necessary. I do want to issue a trigger warning if you are someone that struggles with eating disorders. We do talk in depth about EDs, the mental struggles that come with it, the scary, scary side effects of anorexia and starvation. We talk about binging. There's a whole lot that goes into this episode, but if you're struggling, if you want to hear someone who's overcome a 20-year-long eating disorder, this episode is for you. It's impactful. It's important. I think you will love it, and I hope that it helps at least one of you. I know for me, it was really good to hear, and I hope you guys do enjoy it. I do want to remind you that this episode and every episode this year is sponsored by Macy's, and the holidays are in full swing. So if you're stressed about your gift list, don't be. Get all the inspo using Macy's Gift Finder. They've got a bunch of different ways to search for gifts. You could shop by price. You could shop by gift list. You could shop by category. So check out Macy's.com/giftfinder to find that perfect present. We will get into this week's episode. Next week, I'm thinking I'm going to do a little solo one because I have so much in my personal life to catch you guys up on. I want to rant about some topics. Also, I'm a girlfriend. A lot has happened. So stay tuned for a little solo pod next week. But in the meantime, I hope you guys enjoy this one. Pour yourself a cup of Binge Watch Black Tea and get ready to sip it while we spill it. Let's just hop into it. I'm really excited to chat with you because when I saw that you had come out with this new book, The Way to Beautiful, I was so like instantly obsessed with like all of the messaging and everything that you've put out there and like listening to some of the interviews that you've done. Because I do talk about body image on my channel and just like kind of what that means for even like me discussing it, like as someone that has a platform. And I think it's really interesting. I kind of want to dive into like what it's been like for you talking about these things when you feel like you're kind of like you're in a good, healthy, recovered place now. And now you're like having to talk about it all the time. I had someone on my podcast last week and we were saying sometimes for us, it's kind of like triggering when we're trying to like move on from something, but then we feel like we need to keep talking about it. So I kind of want to talk about that first, because I feel like no one's really like dug into that with you.
Yeah, no, I feel like talking about it has been very therapeutic for me. Because for so many years, it was like my deepest, darkest secrets. Mm. So to be able now to talk about it so freely and openly, it hasn't gotten old yet. It really hasn't. So I'm still in a place where talking about it reminds me of how dark it was and how terrible it was for me. And it actually helps me to keep moving forward and keep moving past it, because I know, I mean, I could never go back there simply because I could never be hungry like that again. Mm-hmm. Like my body is now mm-hmm. out of that like mindset of like being able to starve itself. I don't think I could ever do that again. But like, it's also like I continuously remind myself of how torturous and how not worth it was. Yeah. So it's been helpful for me to talk about it. It doesn't get old yet. I mean, I think that there's a lot for me to say still. So it hasn't hurt me.
It's more like, could it be triggering for you sometimes if you're like, do you find it triggering if you're like, you know, these things, like these thoughts creep back up? Like even for me, I'm someone that's, I was kind of explaining how, like when I first got like my initial group of followers on TikTok, it's because I was talking about mid-size fashion, which is like when you're between like a plus size and a regular size and you're just kind of like a curvier girl. And I felt like for me, at least I could only speak to myself, that then everyone kind of just considered me like this mid-size girl. And I'm like, wait, my weight fluctuates. Like I might be plus size one month and I might not be, and I might be a size for again? Like I don't know. So for me, sometimes it felt like putting so much like emphasis on my body, like then everyone was like looking at me if I fluctuated or if something happened. So I more so mean like, does it put this emphasis on your body when like you're trying not to have an emphasis on how you look?
No, I worked really hard to move away from judging my value based on my body, and it hasn't so far. It really hasn't, but I also feel like right now I kind of want to be that person. Like you can look at me and you can watch my body, and I want you to watch me not care also. I want you to see that I don't like base my value on that anymore. I want people to see that, you know? So I want to be that person for other people right now because I don't feel like there's enough of us out there showing people that like the size of your body is going to fluctuate and the size of your body doesn't matter at all. And like you're probably thinking about it way more than anyone else is thinking about it. And so right now I want to be that person because for so long I was the exact opposite and I cared so much. So it feels really good to like continuously put that message out. But that's where I am right now. I don't know in 2 years from
Powerful.
now. Talking about it, but nothing sets me back because when you say a trigger in terms of like when you say trigger, I feel like is there things that talking about it makes me want to go back to dieting or go back to being emaciated or go back? There's none of that that I consider to be something that enhances my life or something that was good for me or something that made me feel good. None of that made me feel good. There were moments where I loved looking emaciated, but I know that was my sickness. So none of this, you can't, I guess you can't really trigger someone to want something that like is attached to so many negative feelings. You know, I just don't feel like it's something that ever had any positivity or did anything good for my life. So I don't get triggered because I don't, there's nothing there I want anymore.
That's really powerful. And I think that is really important what you said about like, you want to show people, like, yeah, my body might fluctuate. Like, things are going to change, things are going to happen. And I feel that way too. It's like we're all humans and things, whether you're in like the most healthy place with food or your relationship with your body, like things do just naturally fluctuate and change. And it's like, especially being a woman, it's like we have. So many, I deal so much with like hormones. Like, that's like a huge thing for me that really like it's just always fluctuating. And it's like these things are just naturally going to happen. I'm going to get pregnant one day and I might look a different way. And it's like it is what it is. And it's normal to be at any stage that you're at.
I also know that at my age, I mean, I'm 47 years old, and it's a real like eye opener in your 40s, especially in your later 40s, you often can't control things that start happening in your body. Like my friend said to me a few months ago, she gained some weight and she said, you know, like I used to know all the things to do to get it off, and they just don't work anymore. You know, like your body just changes. And if you hyper focus on it, like you're the only person really hyper focusing on your body. It really doesn't matter as much to me anymore. I don't know if that's a just like after 20 years, like I just realized that how bad it was for me, but also that I'm older now and there's so many other things in my life. But like if I could say the one thing I had to in therapy and with my dietitian. So I have both. And I do believe that both a therapist and a dietitian are equally important parts of the recovery process. And I think one of the things that I had to recognize was that my biggest trigger throughout everything was always the scale. And it was very throughout the recovery process. I've been in this process for over 2 years now. I, for a very long time, went back and forth on whether or not I should weigh myself. And I always opted not to. And like once every 2 weeks, I would get this, like, I should weigh myself. I should just know so that I could take the mystery out of how much weight I gained, or I should just know so that I can like have a healthy relationship with the scale. I am so glad that I haven't, because that is a trigger for me. And I do think that if I saw numbers going up and down, I might start to try and control that again. And I don't want any of that in my life. So it's been, I haven't been on a scale since May of 2021. And I don't think I'll ever get on a scale again. You can't hate a number that you don't know, right? So.
Oh, I'm the biggest like fan of in certain situations, ignorance is bliss. Like in certain things, like not reading comments or not stepping on the scale. Like there are certain things I do to protect my own peace, and I'm okay with that. Like if it's me not looking online to see what people are saying, or if it's me not stepping on a scale, it's like, all right, what I don't know doesn't hurt me. And I totally agree. In certain situations, it's like that's an empowered choice that you're making to protect your own mental health.
So it's like I do know that there are triggers for me. Talking about the book and talking about my eating disorder are not one of them, two of them. But talking about like being on a scale, knowing that number, being surrounded by people who are hyper focused on their diet, that kind of stuff is not good for me. And I know that. So I try to avoid those situations.
It's hard for me when I see people. I think the biggest thing for me was that I struggled with this like restrict binge issue where I would be like, I'm on a diet and I can't eat X, Y, and Z. And then you go off said diet and you eat everything because like that's just the restricted like mindset never worked for me. I wasn't living like a normal functioning life. And I think where I get triggered is when I go out to deep. I'm sure you see this all the time, just going out with other women, because now I'm so hyper aware of how like almost every single person I come in contact with like has some kind of weird thinking around food. And I notice like I find that triggering when I'm out and people are like, oh, I'm gonna eat this, but not the bread. Or they just make comments like, I'm gonna have this, but like with no sugar in it. And I'm like, oh, just like drink the margarita and like have one instead of five. Like, you know, because now I'm in this like moderation mindset. So I personally find that triggering. Is that the kind of stuff that you find hard to be around?
Yeah, I find it hard to be around people who are talking about dieting. I take myself out of those conversations because I don't want to contribute to that at all. I don't ever want to be on a diet again. I'm working really hard still to break the, I mean, there are a few like habits. I don't restrict anymore. I don't have anorexia anymore. I've gained a fair amount of weight. I'm really like in, I don't know what I weigh, but I would imagine that I'm like really well in there in like the zone of what you should be. I'm probably still on the slimmer side. I do watch myself because I'm not great at intuitive eating. I'm not great at when there is like a calorie value attached to something and it's right there in black and white. I'm not great at not looking at it and then not like knowing it and eating according to it.
It's so many
But
years of thinking about it. That's why it's really hard.
But I'm really good now. Like I generally like don't let that affect me so much. But when people are talking about dieting around me or when they're eating according to rules and we're out together, that kind of stuff I have to physically like shut myself off from because I don't want to hear it. It upsets me. It also, I get these moments where I'm like, it's easy for me to rationalize. You know, which I did for 20 years. I rationalized why it was okay for me to have an eating disorder. And now it's not so much about having an eating disorder. It's about like eating things that I probably am eating more for weight purposes than for enjoyment purposes. You know, so if I go out to dinner and I'm in the mood for steak, but I get fish instead, it's easy for me to rationalize that when people around me are not really eating, or when they're talking about keto, or when they're talking about their juice detox, or when, you know, so I don't like making those kind of decisions anymore. I like to eat what I'm in the mood for. So I try to surround myself with people who have healthier relationships with food if I'm out to dinner with them.
It's without like getting too personal for me, but it's like hard when it's like people in your like family or in your life that are like doing those things, because then you can't really, you know, with friends you can kind of like get away from it a little bit, but when it's people that are like so close to you making comments not about you but about themselves, that's when I find it really hard, because you're like, okay, there's only so much space I could put between this, but you also can't like you can't teach people what's taken you years to learn yourself in one conversation. So sometimes I feel like it's also just like giving people grace and being like, okay, well, maybe they're struggling with this. And like,
yeah,
this is their
well,
journey.
also, like, I took it to a very toxic level. I can understand how other people go in and out of diets because they never had it where it, like, you know, almost caused them to have a heart attack and die. You know, like,
yeah.
I took it to a really toxic level, which is why I have to avoid it now so carefully. But other people didn't get to that level. So I understand. Listen, I understand why people want to lose weight. I understand all of it. I need to recognize what my triggers are, if we're talking about triggers, and I need to keep away from them because there are still some. But talking about my eating disorder and talking about the book are certainly not, they're not triggers for me. Being around all like people who are not eating and being around people who are very enmeshed in diet culture or even orthorexia, people who exercise too much, people who put a really high value on going to 3 yoga classes in a row and then taking like a 6 mile walk. I can't. It's yeah. hard for me to be around them too.
Well, I think it's really true what you said about how for so many years you like live with this like secret, even though maybe it's like obvious to the people around you, you're keeping this all like really tightly wound inside. So I would imagine that's why it is so liberating for you to talk about it now, because you're like, this is something that I've been battling with, like ping-ponging back and forth in my own brain for so many years. And it's like, now you're at a place where you could talk about it and share. And I think that's why it's so admirable what you're doing, because most of these things that people struggle with the relationship around food or body image, it's all internal. Like I know, like whenever I've had trouble, like it's up here. Like it's not really, I'm not really telling people outwardly. It's just within myself. So it is nice for you to kind of like be that voice for people who maybe haven't come to that point yet. Maybe they're not ready yet to say.
Yeah. 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 And I you know, there's not enough public figures. I mean, I hate calling myself that because like I'm on a reality show, but yeah. I guess I am, you know, and I have a platform. And, you know, one of the things that I really think kept me sick for so long was that I had nobody that I could look at and be like, well, you had really bad problems with food. And now you're recovered and you still like the way you look. You're still like I wanted to give people a picture of what recovery was because I had no idea what it was. Yeah. And that's what was so scary for me. And that's why anytime I thought about, well, you know, maybe I'll try to get help or maybe I'll do something, like I didn't want to because I was like, well, wait a second. I also don't want to end up gaining 100 pounds and being miserable and hating myself. Like I didn't know what it looked like, you know? So that's why I also am very vocal about it, because I want to give that to other people.
No, that's really great. And what do you say for people who feel like recovery just like isn't within reach? Like maybe they've been trying and like for whatever reason, like they just don't feel like they're able to fully get there, because I think that's really common where people feel like this is impossible. Like I can't do it. But then they could look at people like you and be like, wait, but it is achievable. Like what kind of advice would you give to those people who are struggling to like really believe in the process that they could actually heal?
Yeah, I would say, well, first of all, you need the right team, like especially a therapist to start. And there are therapists who specialize in not just eating disorders, but specialize in like specialties of eating disorders. So like my therapist really knows anorexia. She knows it so well. And we have, and when I say we, I mean anorexics, we have like all the same habits. It's crazy. Like she knew things that I was doing that I never had to tell her that I do. And nothing I said surprised her. Like we all do the same stuff. It's all about avoiding our hunger and feeling full without eating. So I would say, make sure you have the right people or person, at least person, make sure you have support. I didn't open up about this to many people, but Evan was always so great. And if you have an Evan in your life, like you have a best friend or you have a spouse or your mom or somebody that can keep you on the straight and narrow and like keep encouraging you, and you have the right specialist in your corner, the rest of it, I think, has to be your mindset. And I hate to say that because like, I wish I could just get people there without the mindset being part of it. But you do have to want it, you know? And it was every time I tried to set myself up for recovery when I didn't really want it and I wasn't really sure if I wanted it, I never succeeded. You know, like I think for me, I had to reach a point where I was like, you know what? Like, this is killing me. And like, it's killing my life too. Like, it's really like hurting like my enjoyment of life, you know? And until I got to that point where I was like, you know what? What's on the other side, no matter what it looks like, it has got to be better than this. Until you get to that point where you're like, realize that life will be better when this is out of your life, then I don't know that you're not going to sabotage yourself, but I definitely think setting yourself up with the right support system is very important.
I think there's a few things that like popped into my mind while you were saying that. First of all, I was thinking about like all the people who maybe like want a support system but aren't able to like go out and afford one or get one, like hire a therapist or hire a dietitian, whatever it may be. And I was just thinking like it's so important. Like I could just see you like in the future. I'm a big brainstormer, but like creating like a community for like women to go and like have these resources and go to these people, because it just makes me sad thinking like, you know, I've been able to go to therapy and I've been able to do these things, but for the people that like maybe can't do that, like I wish there were more resources out there for them.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that my therapy is mostly covered by insurance. I do submit it to insurance every month. I put together my dates and I get most of it back.
That's great.
Yeah, and I know that there's definitely in-network therapists for most insurance plans that deal with this. And if you don't have insurance, I know some people don't have insurance. I'm not sure what free resources there are. There's books and everything, but in terms of therapy, which I think is really important, if you do have insurance, it's definitely worth looking at who's in network. And if you can't find someone in network, I get most of it back through like my claims. So
It just would be
it's
like
not just out of pocket.
I'm just picturing like you hosting this like retreat for all these women, like bringing in all
I
these
would. I
people.
just don't know. Like, I'm not a therapist. And I feel like I can encourage people so well to get help. And I can tell you so beautifully how life is so much better on this side of it. But I, you know, a large part of my recovery was based on working out why I would do this to myself and what went so left in my psyche and in my life that my self-esteem was so low that I felt like I needed to starve myself and literally take away like any sustenance of life in order to be happy. And that's something you have to work out in therapy. It is, or else it stays there and it's always waiting for you.
You're never going to get there unless you really do that work and figure
You
it out.
gotta do that work and figure it out so that you don't go back there, you know?
Do you think that being on The Real Housewives of New Jersey really kind of helped push you to get to this point?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, for two reasons. Number one, I had my rock bottom. I had a few rock bottoms over the years, but it didn't change me. It made me think about changing, but nothing worked. But this one that I had after my season with the Evan rumor that really hit me so hard. That rock bottom was sort of came at the right time in my life where I was like, I'm just too old for this shit. And like my health was failing. I knew that. And also it gave me like when I say support circle, like, oh man, I had so many people cheering me on. And I also had so many people watching me. So failure was not an option for me. I was not going to show everybody that recovery was too hard and not to bother. You know, I was never going to do that. So yeah, the show totally helped me. But you know, when I got on the show, I was always looking for what would make me feel beautiful, right? And what would make me feel special. And like, anorexia was one of the things. I was always convinced that once I was thin, I would feel beautiful and special. And then like I was thin, but like there was something was still not there. Like I still didn't feel great about myself. And then I thought getting on the show would do it. And like I did love the show. I still love the show. But it didn't really do it too. There was still something missing. You know, like no matter what I thought was going to get me there, like it just didn't, you know? And if a size zero body and like nationwide fame didn't get me there. Like, what the hell's gonna get me there? I realized like it's not outside of me. Nothing outside of me is gonna get me there. Like, I gotta do it in here, you know?
Wow, that's actually the truest thing, because I have girlfriends that are single and they're like, when I have a boyfriend, I'll be happy. And I'm like, something's not right in your life if you're like waiting on another person to make you happy. Like, I've been single for like the longest time. I literally just got a boyfriend, but I never thought that. Like, I was like, he'll just like, whoever I meet will like enhance my life, but like, I'm not, they're not gonna change my life. Like, I've had to do all this self-work on my own. And I actually think, like, you know, because I believe in like things happen for a reason. I'm like, I actually think I was single for so long because I had to do all of this work on myself in order to be with someone. Like, I had to get myself in that place where I was like, I don't need you, but now I'm fulfilled. Like, I'm happy with myself and now we could be together. It's like someone else or something else like isn't going to change things for you. And like, I think we all just like grasp for these outside things. Like, when I get that car, when I get the promotion, when I hit the goal weight, I'll be happy.
And for me, it was like, God, like, these are the things I wanted the most forever. Like, all of this, like, recognition and people like loving me, and like this tiny little body and this long blonde hair, and like none of it did the trick, you know? You just keep chasing shit. But I mean, I'm so grateful of where I am now, because I really never ever thought, I thought I would just die like this one day. I did it for a long time. I thought I'd just live forever like this. And then once things started to happen health-wise, I was like, you know what? I might not live forever like this.
It's so like, it's so crazy that those were like the realizations that you were having, you know, daily. And knowing you are a mom and like you're such a great mom to your children, like, how do you like, has going through recovery really changed the way that you like parent and talk about food around them?
Yeah, not so much talk about food. Well, I never really talked about food before. If I did, I was faking it. I was a total hypocrite, because I would tell them, you know, eating, and you know, I would tell them to enjoy food, and I never did any of that on my own. And I also avoided talking about food sometimes, unless I remember one scene where I had to on camera talk about like healthy eating with them, and I felt like such a fraud because I knew I was so bad inside. Now I'm better at talking about, I'm not great at talking about food with them still, because I don't know what words are gonna hurt them. I don't know if even saying like a food is healthy, I don't want them to create bad foods and good foods in their head, because I did that for so long. So I try more so than talking. Like, when I talk to them about food, I really just encourage, like, eat things that you enjoy, eat in moderation, don't go crazy on anything, and like, don't worry about it. Eat until you're full and then stop, and then like get a lot of physical exercise, right? Be outside. That's basically the extent I go to with food. But I really try to model really, really good behavior, a very good relationship with food. So like, there's never a time ever where I take them out for anything and don't participate in the meal with them, whether it's a snack or breakfast or anything. I always eat out with them. And I'm also, like, maybe this is more so for me, but I'm sure they could tell too. Like, I'm present during the meal. I'm not counting the calories. I'm not looking at like micro controlling the portions. I'm not like half my, most of my head, 80% of my head was always on what I was eating, and the other 20% would participate in what was going on at the table. And now it's like, I'm not going to pretend I'm fully there, but now it's like 90% and 10%. You know, 90% that I am with whatever is going on at that table, I am present with, you know, and 10% of me is still like, I don't want to overeat. No, Jackie, it's okay. Just eat it and don't worry. Like, what's really going to happen? You know, but I still have those dialogues where I talk myself down sometimes.
Oh, 100%, because like even when I'm in like my most healthy place, you still feel things creep in because of the way that we've been conditioned, like with diet culture, like you said before, like you look at like an egg and you're like, oh, I know how many calories that is. Like, because we've tracked these things, because we've done these things, it's hard to just all of a sudden one day switch off your thinking
Yeah,
and
and
just
you can't, and I don't want to
no.
pretend that you can. You know, I've been really honest about the fact that I'm not all the way there yet, because I don't want people to get an unrealistic picture. Sometimes these things can take, it's the detail, it's the last little bits of it are like hard, those habits, you know. But I mean, the fact that anorexia is so far in my past is so amazing, you know.
It's really amazing. And like, It's crazy how when you were saying like when your brain used to be like kind of 80% thinking about like food or whatever it was and like 20% present, that's like something only someone that has gone through something like this could understand, like how much it takes you out of every situation you're in. Like when I remember when I was most unhappy with like the way I looked, because that's like what I was just fixating on at the time. I wasn't present. Like I just remember like for like a year, just like literally not being present in anything I did. And like there's no way to kind of describe it. Like people on the outside, like my family would kind of be like, you don't seem present. And I'd be like, oh, you're ridiculous. You know, I'd get defensive. But now in hindsight, I could be like, where was I? Like my
I
brain is
know.
not there.
I know. And also, when I didn't eat, like I was always kind of glazed over. I was always a little lightheaded. I would lose focus. I would zone out sometimes. It was in all aspects of my life, whether I was at a meal or not, I was never present. I really wasn't.
And it's crazy when you, in hindsight, when you look back and you're in, now you're present and you're like, oh my gosh, what was happening all that
I
time?
know. But I remember like, and I was always nervous that I would have to eat something. So like, if I even something for the show, like even when we weren't filming, if like I went to like an all day like behind the scenes thing or like an all day photo shoot or something, I would get very nervous about what the meal situation would be and what kind of snacks they would have for me and like whether I would have to like wait 16 hours to eat until I got home at night. And sometimes I would do that. Sometimes I would wait the whole time and like make excuses and then come home and eat dinner at 11 at night. You know, so just not having that be a part of my life anymore is so opens up so much more headspace when you're not like anxious about the food, you know.
Did you physically though, like I like did you physically have like headaches and like I know you're saying you weren't present, but like I can't even imagine working a full day feeling that way. Like the
I got very used to it. Because it had been by the time I got on the show, it was 15 years, and then by the time I chose to recover, it was 18 years. So I did get used to it, kind of all faded away. But yeah, there were at the beginning, I used to faint. I did faint 3 times, in the first like 3 years of anorexia. I fainted 3 times, and a lot of more times that I was like very unsteady on my feet. I didn't have terrible headaches, but I had a lot of other physical things like the hair. I developed that hair on my body that insulates you. I was always really one of the biggest things for me was how cold I was all the time. I was so cold. If I went outside in under 60 degree weather, my lips would turn blue, my fingertips would go numb, my toes went numb. I had no body fat. So I was always in a big, heavy jacket. And I was so sick inside, I almost liked, even though it was very physically painful for me to be that cold, I almost liked being one of those emaciated people in a big jacket. You know, yeah, I'm so cold because I'm so thin. You know, it was like I didn't get to say that for so long that I almost wore it like a badge. You know, it's really a mental illness and it really messes with your head. You know, you're proud of things that you really should not be proud of because you didn't have them for so long. You know, I always wanted to be one of those really thin people. So when I had it, I was like, God, you worked really hard for this. Like, be proud that you're in a winter jacket in May. Be proud. You know, so it really messes with your head. But I didn't have headaches, but I had a lot of physical like things come from it.
I just like really appreciate how honest you are about everything because everything you're saying, it's like you're speaking what so many people think in their head, but don't have the balls to say out loud.
Well, I have
And
nothing to lose anymore. And
yeah,
like,
it's
I
amazing.
want people to know how fucking miserable and what a mind game this is. It really can take over unless you stop it. I mean, if anyone is listening and they have an eating disorder, I mean, lots of people have disordered eating. I think with especially with the world we live in now and all the diet drugs and all the social media, like it's hard not to become ensconced into diet culture. But if anyone's listening and they do have an eating disorder, I would definitely encourage you to open up to somebody because once you open that door and you start talking about it, that person can be another resource to helping you. You know, and like look for Google therapists who specialize, see who's in your network, start talking to people about it. And And like maybe even read like a self-help book on it. Like just get yourself in the mindset where like you're ready to get some help and it will come together for you, but it is so not worth it. Like I don't know how much weight I gained. Stay away from the scale. Like who cares? Like no one cares as much as I cared.
No
Like no
one
one really
cares.
cares when I weigh. No one cares. And like everyone in my life, I was really afraid. This is the most crazy part to me. My husband worships me. He's worshiped me since day one. I worship him too. Like we adore each other. I'm actually worried that my husband would stop loving me if I gained weight. That's how messed up my head was. I didn't know if my kids would keep loving me. Like I'm so scared. I was like, well, do they want a fat mom? Like my mind was so messed up. Like I can't believe I even worried about that.
Yeah, it's like the things that you put emphasis on are really not important. And like the thing I always think about, like if I'm going to a pool party and I'm in my head, I'm like, so is every single person here. People care more about themselves than they care about you. And like,
Oh, yeah, for
that's a
sure.
hard realization, but it's like, no one, like if you think I'm looking at you, I'm thinking about myself because we're all just like battling these things up here. It's like, no one cares.
No one cares.
It's so true. Jackie, I just want to thank you. You've been so honest and so helpful. And I'm
Oh,
just like,
thank
so
you.
for changing lives. Like, I just know it. It's unbelievable.
Oh, I hope so. Thank you so
Really
much. It
are.
was so nice speaking to you. I'm sorry that I was late on the
Oh my
call.
God, don't worry. And I'm gonna send you, I just launched a tea and I'm gonna send it to you. It's,
Oh,
I'll show you in
please
a
do.
second. It's reality TV based. It's called Binge Watch Black
Oh,
Tea.
I love it. And I love black tea.
So you could it's like so you could watch your favorite show and binge watch your tea. That's like the whole binge watch black tea. So
I
cute.
love it. I think I saw this on somebody else's
Melissa
Instagram.
posted it. Yeah. Yeah,
Yes.
it's like I made it so it looks like a coffee table book. So it could like go out
Oh, I
and
love
come home.
it.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Love it. Thank
Congratulations.
you so much. I'm going to send you some, but thank you. I just want to thank you for coming on and so great
Thank you
talking.
for having me.